Okay, perfect. Sounds like everyone can hear the presentation, can hear me and can see the PowerPoint slide. So good afternoon again, and welcome to today's presentation. We're going to talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program opportunities in American Studies. My name is Aphrodita Krasnici, and I'm the Fulbright Outreach and Recruitment Officer at the Institute of International Education based in New York City. So I hope everyone is doing well today, and I hope that you're all in good spirits. So just before we start, please keep in mind this application is for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program for 2021-2022 cycle. So the application deadline is September 15, 2020, and today we're going to talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program mission, and I'm going to talk about the brief history as well before we dive into these wonderful opportunities that we have in American Studies. So why do we talk about the mission and the history of the program? It's because this is also part of your application. As a Fulbrighter, you're expected to serve as cultural ambassador of the United States abroad. So the program was established in 1946 with that goal in mind, to bring people together, to foster mutual understanding between nations, and advance knowledge across communities and improve lives around the world. So keep this in mind as you start crafting your application, and especially in American Studies, because you certainly can serve as a great cultural ambassador in this topic of in American Studies. So you would be promoting American culture, American values, American literature, and whatnot as part of the American Studies. Fulbright is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, and it is a U.S. government-funded program, whereas it is administered by the Institute of International Education, the organization that I work for. Overseas, the program is administered by Fulbright commissions, or whenever there is no Fulbright commission, it is administered by U.S. embassies abroad. So these are U.S. government representations abroad. So these are just some of the stakeholders that are part of the Fulbright program. Fulbright always strives to ensure that it reflects the diversity of U.S. society and societies abroad. So in the pool of applications, of the applicants, we always make sure to have a diversity included and to represent well the United States abroad. So Fulbright does not discriminate, and it's open to regardless of the applicant's race, color, national origin, sex, age, religion, etc. So this is a wonderful opportunity for all U.S. citizens, regardless of their background. Fulbright, by the numbers, you can see here over the years, the Fulbright has grown into a large program, and since 1946, around 390,000 participants have attended the Fulbright program. And today we're just discussing the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, but just to give you a sense of how large the program is, we send around 8,000 participants a year. And this is both ways, hosting international Fulbrighters, but also sending U.S. Fulbrighters abroad. So as part of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program alone, we do send around 800 U.S. scholars and administrators abroad, whereas the other programs listed here include other types of programs. And also, if you have wonderful students that are also interested to serve as cultural ambassadors, or they can do study or research abroad, we do have a great Fulbright U.S. student program that you can recommend them to apply. just to see the trend here of how the awards are distributed from 2018 and 2019 application cycle, the most popular awards were a combination of teaching and research. So that's 38%. And again, just to remind everyone, I'm going to take questions at the end. So if you have any question, please feel free to chat them in the box, and I'll make sure to get to those later at the end of the presentation. So going back to the trends in what are most popular awards, basically this is what applicants chose to apply in. Combination of teaching and research, number one, and then research is also the second most popular, research alone, and followed by teaching. And we do have also opportunities for administrators who can attend two-week seminars in several countries around the world, and then we do offer also postdoctoral research, which is an opportunity for those who just graduate, who just finished their PhD and want to do postdoc research abroad. What does it take to become eligible Fulbrighter? First of all, U.S. citizenship is required. We do get this question a lot, whether green card holders are eligible. Unfortunately not. You have to be a U.S. citizen, because remember, you're serving as cultural ambassador of the United States abroad, and you really have to have lived in the States in order for you to do so. Degree and experience as required by the award. So every award will have different requirements for degrees. Some are open to PhD or other terminal degree holders only. And then we do have opportunities for master degree academics or professionals, and we even encourage professionals and even artists with substantial accomplishments to apply to the Fulbright program. We do have great opportunities for artists, creative writers, architects, etc. You just have to pay attention to the teaching experience that is required. And for returning Fulbrighters, there are new policies in place that you have to wait 2 years from the time you completed your last Fulbright to the time you can apply for another one. And there are no limits to how many Fulbrighters one can get in their career. Just to keep in mind, as long as you can justify why do you need a repeat Fulbright. How do you know if a Fulbright would work for you? First of all, look for you know, the opportunities offered, and also where are you in your career. Like I mentioned, we do have opportunities for postdoc or early career, mid-career, distinguished chair, which are applicants that have over 10 years of teaching and research experience. And even independent scholars are welcome to apply. We do offer the flex option as a possibility for those scholars who cannot take a full leave or cannot take a sabbatical. So these are multiple visits within the span of 2 years. And we do have this offered in 63 countries. We do have the global and regional awards in part of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program application. You can apply to only one award in one country. However, we do have the global award that offers opportunity for doing teaching and research in at least two world regions or maximum three world regions. And also we do have regional awards like multi-country awards, for example, Spain and Greece, or Spain and Morocco and some other countries that do offer this. So unless it is specified like that, it's a multi-country award, you cannot combine like these awards, or you cannot apply to two different awards in two different countries. How do you select the right award? Basically, since today we're going to cover, focus is going to be awards in American studies, first of all, look for these awards if they have the American studies as a preferred discipline. So match your expertise, match your experience, and also proposal. Would your teaching or research be feasible in this country? And if you do have regional experience and language ability, you know, make sure that you emphasize that. Even though in majority of these awards, language is not required. However, if you speak the language or some of if you're a beginner in that language, then that could serve you well in becoming a better cultural ambassador, so you can connect with communities much easier, right, if you speak some language. And then, is the project relevant to the host country? This is the question number one that the review panelists ask. Why this country? And how will these communities benefit from your project? And again, pay attention to where you are in your career level and whether the award is looking for the profile of the applicant that you represent. Today, I just pulled this information from our Fulbright Scholar Directory. We do have a list of alumni dating back to 10 years. And these are people that you can filter them by the discipline, by the host country, by a project idea, etc. So we do have this wonderful opportunity. It is called Roving Scholar in American Studies in Norway. And the scholar, Anna Agbe Davis, she just recently completed this project in Norway at the Norwegian Center for Foreign Languages in Education. And this is how you can search up these alumni and see where they went, what they did. We do not provide their contacts. However, if they're academics, if you just Google them, you can find out more information, and even their email address will appear, I'm sure. And then just reach out to them for more information, because this is a great resource that I recommend everyone uses and see, like, if they can get some feedback from these alumni. We do have the American Studies awards in all the world regions that the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program operates in. There are 47 awards in all these different world regions, and I just want to highlight a few of them, and I would like to start with East Asia and the Pacific. Again, if you do have any specific questions for one of these awards, make sure to email us. We have the email address listed on the right-hand corner for every world region, and we are very responsive. We'll get back to your question within 24 or 48 hours from the time you post the question. So let's start with Australia. They do have this Fulbright Scholar Award in Australia and U.S. Alliance. So it's a great opportunity that focuses on the relations and the studies between Australia and the U.S. In China, this is a research only. It is China Studies, Social Sciences, Humanities, and the Arts. So pay attention. Some awards would offer teaching and research or professional projects or a combination of all. So you want to like see where is your strength and what would you like to do, whether it's just teaching or whether it's research or a combination of both. Hong Kong has a study of the United States. And Japan offers also a study of the United States, which is teaching social sciences and humanities. Korea, a wonderful opportunity in social sciences, humanities, and arts. So even though this is like multiple disciplines, you can see like and decide to apply in one of them, or if your project is a multidisciplinary, again, you can combine it, and you can do teaching or teaching and research both. In Taiwan, some of the humanities and arts, education, professional fields, and social science. And Vietnam offers the All Discipline Awards, which is an open-ended award. But again, whenever you see an All Discipline Award, please keep in mind that you would be applying against applicants from all the other disciplines. So I always recommend that you look for these awards that represent your discipline. Moving on to the other world region in Europe and Eurasia, and again, since I work in these opportunities in Europe and Eurasia, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me at this email address, europeeurasia@ia.org, and I'm happy to help. We do have diverse opportunities in Europe and Eurasia, but Europe Eurasia is like the largest region in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, but here we just have few of these awards highlighted. So there are other opportunities in American Studies as well, but some here to highlight. In Austria, the focus is in American Studies, and then in Denmark, it's the Distinguished Chair in American Studies as well. This is more for a senior level of scholars. And then Finland has the Bicentennial Chair in American Studies. Whereas in France, they do offer this postdoc research opportunity in social sciences. So this is junior research, early career applicants. Early career in the Fulbright terminology means people or applicants who have just recently, within the last 5 years, completed their doctoral studies. In Hungary, we do have this emphasis in American studies, the Laszlo Orgak Chair Award. And whenever you see the chair opportunity, that is, again, for more senior level of scholars, except with few exceptions in some countries where they would welcome also early career applicants. In Italy, the focus of this opportunity, the Fulbright Lectureship, is in Italian and American studies at the University of Calabria. Whereas moving on with Kosovo has the old disciplines. However, even within the old disciplines, one of the preferred disciplines is American studies. So again, focus on these preferred disciplines and whether your discipline is represented. Romania, the same opportunity in American studies. That is the only applicants within American studies will be accepted for this award. Moving on to Middle East and North Africa, Egypt has a wonderful opportunity at the American University. So this is one of the few institutions worldwide that you can affiliate with an American university, because the idea of the Fulbright is for you to affiliate with locally accredited institutions, not with American university. But this is an exception in Egypt. Israel has great opportunity, Fulbright Senior Scholar Fellowship at Ben Gurion University. There are so many postdocs opportunities in American studies in Israel and Jordan as well. So Jordan offers the old disciplines, but the highlight is in American literature, film studies, gender studies. Kuwait has the old discipline award. It's an open-ended award, as well as Saudi Arabia, with a focus in some of the American studies. Algeria has a great opportunity in all disciplines, but especially in American history and civilization, etc. Moving on to South and Central Asia, India has the largest award. They offer somewhere over 40 grants for the Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence. So this is an open-ended, it's an old discipline award, but again, it's a large program, so highly recommend for you to look at this opportunity. Then Kazakhstan has a multiple disciplines award, and American studies is included. Same with Kyrgyz Republic, Sri Lanka, and Turkmenistan. Moving on to Sub-Saharan Africa, so as you can see, all these five countries listed here have open-ended awards in Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Madagascar, Burkina Faso, and Guinea. So make sure to check also if you have a great institution that you can affiliate with in one of these countries. And again, you can apply to only one country, one award, unless otherwise specified, like I mentioned earlier. Western Hemisphere is offering a lot of great opportunities, like Argentina and social sciences and humanities. Brazil has the old discipline award, whereas Canada offers the research chairs in indigenous studies, but also in North American studies. So whatever would, the topic of the research or teaching is closer to your work and your background, make sure that you also select based on that. We do have this multiple or regional award, Canada and Mexico, the Fulbright Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies, and then Colombia, the open-ended old discipline award. Mexico offers these two awards that focus on American studies, the Fulbright Garcia Robles U.S. Studies Professorship Chair, but also there is the Fulbright Garcia Robles Border Scholar Award, which is only open to applicants at U.S. institutions in states that border with Mexico. How do you understand the awards? Basically, before, like, you probably would have like several of these awards that you want to review before you decide which one is the best match. So you should go and check our catalog of awards, which is awards.cis.org, which is listed here. Maybe the letters are a little bit small here. But you can see every award page has information divided into four tabs. So here we have an award in Australia, in Austria, Fulbright Bud Fieber, Visiting Professor of Austrian American Studies. And here under that name, you will have Austria and Europe and Eurasia. That's the region. And you have four tabs, award details. Make sure you read carefully all this information listed here, because this is where it will give you an indication whether you could be a good match. Grant activity, grant length is listed, etc. Then, under the award requirements, you will see when you open that whether the letter of invitation is required and if they do provide any contacts for any person at this host institution. And more information will be listed on the stipends and benefits under the third tab. And the last tab is about the country area overview. So basically, you want to read carefully through all these four tabs before you decide what award you want to apply to. On the right hand here of the award, you have the application deadline. Like I mentioned earlier, it's September 15. Then it's the activity, whether it's combination of teaching and research, like in this case, or sometimes they do offer other options. You can do teaching only or research only or professional projects, etc. Pay close attention to what is the degree that it is required for every award, and then the candidate profile, whether it's open to professionals or academics, early career, postdoctoral, etc. And how many people will be selected, number of grants. For this award, there will be only one person selected. And then for every award, we do have a dedicated staff member, like for this one, that's me, that we have the names and the phone numbers and the emails listed. So you can reach out to us if you have any questions. On the right-hand corner here, you have Begin Application Process. When you click that, it's going to take you to the application component. So basically, what is required to have a completed and a very competitive application? Online application form, which I would really recommend that you start it if you haven't done so, because once you start your application and you fill out a few questions, you will also be part of our network, and then we will send you messages directly, because we will have you listed in what country you want to apply to and what is the discipline, and then we do have like information, helpful tips that we share with applicants throughout the application process. The project statement is a very important component of the application, and I'll get to that in a second in the next slide. Your resume is also important. We do provide tips on how to craft a very competitive resume where you should highlight what's most important for this particular award that you're applying to. Something new this year, we only require two letters of recommendation. So one should come from your home institution and the second one can come from a person outside of your home institution. Like I mentioned earlier, majority of these awards do not require language proficiency. However, if they do in rare cases, then you're asked to fill out a language proficiency report. Letter of invitation, if required, is also needed to be part of the application. So the letter of invitation is an endorsement from your host institution abroad. So make sure that you have that included in your application if it is required. Supplemental materials are required only for applicants who apply in the arts, creative writing, architecture, and similar fields. So this will be basically only like a portfolio that is required for these types of applicants, whereas course outlines and syllabi if you're applying for teaching. That is part of the application, and then select bibliography if you're applying for research. So if you're applying for both teaching and research, you're required to submit both of these documents in your application. So let's dive into the project statement for a bit, and this is like the most important component of your application, where you will describe in 3 to 5 pages what you'd like to do and what is the method of teaching if you're teaching, and what is the goal of this research that you're planning to conduct. And it's also very important to highlight and explain the anticipated impact of your award on your hosts abroad, on your home institution, and you. How is this going to affect you professionally, personally, and your home institution? How will they benefit from this? Will this enrich your curriculum? Will this will the students benefit from this experience, etc.? Something new this year we added, supplemental questions. Basically, you need to explain why Fulbright, why you, why this country? Because remember, every application is country specific, so it has to make sense in that country. You really need to convince the panel that is reading your application, why do you need to go abroad to conduct this teaching or research? Can you just stay here and do this online, or you really need to go there physically and do this? And if you've lived abroad, you really can highlight that in your application, because they want to see how adaptable are you with working abroad and dealing with challenging situations. And lastly, how will you adapt your material to your hosting culture? So if, for example, you're in touch with a hosting institution abroad, make sure you send your syllabi to them and see if this would make sense and if you can accommodate them in their teaching requirements. So now I would like to open it up for questions to see if we have any questions. Let me see, and thank you so much for your great questions. I'm a professor of music specializing in classical singing. My field of research is American art song. Would my project as an artist teacher be considered an American studies topic? Yes, I would say so, and also I would recommend that you get in touch with the host institution abroad, now depending what country you want to apply to, and if they would accommodate this discipline, if they do have resources to support your teaching or your project in music discipline, definitely this is one of those examples in American studies. The other great question we just received is, do some institutions request someone in American studies, but they really want a person in TEFL, or which is teaching English as a foreign language, or are the two applications clearly delineated? Thank you. So this is a great question. The best way for you to find out is, first of all, read the award description. So I'm going to show you also our website soon so that you can see what are some of the requirements in American studies. Sometimes countries are very clear and very specific to what type of teaching in American studies they require, whether it's literature, whether it's English as a second language, etc. So make sure you read that carefully, and if it's not clarified on the award description, then you reach out to the hosting country and see if they would be willing to accommodate your request, and what is the focus of their American studies in their department. Usually, the American studies are within the Department of English Language and Literature, but it could be in music, it could be in economics, it could be in so many different other topics. The other question is, can one submit 3 letters of recommendations? Well, from this year, we require only 2 letters of recommendation, so the system will allow you to submit only 2 letters of recommendation. So basically, what you need to do is to register 2 recommenders, and then they will fill out the letter of recommendation on your behalf. So you basically, once you register them, you don't have access to that anymore because that is a confidential letter of recommendation and you won't be able to see that. But I always recommend applicants to be proactive. So when you register these recommenders, make sure ahead of time you send them some summarized project idea, what you're planning to do as part of the Fulbright, so they know where to focus this recommendation, right? So same when you are inquiring about the letter of invitation to these host countries. Make sure you're proactive about it and make sure you emphasize the same way we're asking you to emphasize why Fulbright, what do you plan to do, what's the goal of this teaching or research, make sure you indicate that and ask them nicely to somehow include that in the letter of invitation. Another great question that we have, and thanks again for your wonderful questions, do we have to locate a particular institution on our own and contact them prior to submitting our application? So basically, you, as part of the Fulbright application, this is part of the process. You are expected to connect with these potential hosts even during the application process. So the idea is for you to contact them prior to the application, prior to submitting the application, and include their feedback, include their also potential impact that you would have on their host institution in your project statement, so that this shows that you have already established relationship with them and this project is feasible in this country. So yes, the question is yes. Another great question about recommenders. You definitely should have the first recommendation letter from your home institution where you work, where you did your teaching or research, or if you are an independent scholar of your current working institution, or someone that knows your work. For example, if you're applying for teaching, the letter should come from someone at your home institution who is familiar with your teaching experience and with your teaching style. If you're applying for research only, the same. If you're applying for both, then make sure you identify someone who can speak highly of you in your teaching or research. And then the other important the thing is that this application for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is open to applicants who have teaching experience post their terminal degree or PhD, and who, you know, if you're applying for a postdoc opportunity, that's different. But definitely, it's you need to get a letter of recommendation from your home institution. Another great question about independent scholars. So basically, if you are an independent scholar, you're applying for one of the creative writing awards, etc., the same rule applies. So you really need to make a strong case in the long-term impact, who is going to benefit once you return from a Fulbright, from this great Fulbright experience. When you return to the U.S. as an independent scholar, who will benefit from this Fulbright experience? How are you going to share this? Because you need to really include like a multiplier effect or impact that you will have post-Fulbright. Okay, another great question about an award to Bolivia. So the award is listed as all disciplines, but one of the focus areas is American Studies. Does that mean that they are not looking for particular subfield or specializations with American Studies? So they are looking for American Studies, like you said. If you say that it's an old discipline and one of the focus areas is American Studies, definitely that's a focus discipline. So make sure that you always check. Now I'm going to show you the website because I really want you to get a better sense of how this works in the real, in the live catalog of awards. So Okay, we're back to my screen again, and hopefully you'll be able to see the catalog of awards. If someone could just confirm that for me, I would appreciate it. All right. Great, thank you for confirming. So basically, let's see here. We have the catalog of awards, and I filtered the catalog of awards. I only looked for the awards in American Studies. So 47 awards were found in American Studies. So that's how the catalog will filter it for you on this side. You can see here. One second. Oops. So you can see basically all these filters, how I filtered the American Studies awards. And on the, oops, this is going too fast. So you can see like I filtered American Studies by discipline, and I also left this for the all world regions. You can filter them by regions. You can filter them by country if you're looking for only American disciplines in one country to see if they offer this. You can filter them by multi-country awards or disciplines like I did just now. And then activity, whether you want to do like a professional project, whether it's research, combination of research, etc. And then you can filter them by grant length. So see if they offer the flex option. Remember I said flex option is for multiple visits within the span of 2 years, so you don't need to take any leave or sabbatical. Degree requirement, candidate profile, whether they're looking for more experience level of scholars, early career, or postdoc applicants. Then, if the letter of invitation is required or not. So this is very helpful filters that we have here. So this way you can, so let's see this award in Kosovo, for example. This award, it says all disciplines, and you can see the award details, and you can see more information about grant activity, grant length, which is 3 to 5 months. So make sure you also match your project, your teaching or research accordingly, whether it's it could be 3.5 months or four months or 5 months. As long as it matches this grant length, then it's within the parameters. And then more information some countries provide. When will this exactly start? Because every academic year is different in these countries. So they start the academic year for 21 in October 21. They do not offer the flex option. These are like some of the highlighted disciplines. You can see here, it's American Studies, one of the preferred disciplines. They do even provide contacts at these institutions. For example, English Language and Literature Department is where you would apply for American Studies. And other information about the award requirements, the letter of invitation is preferred. When it is preferred, you really want to get that letter if you want to stand out in the pool of applicants. Language proficiency information is found here. Additional information about the host institution. There is, in addition, you would even find a contact for the U.S. Embassy in this country. The Fulbright program is managed by the U.S. Embassy. I always recommend that you check the U.S. Embassy websites for that country, even if it's managed by a Fulbright Commission, because they do have up-to-date information about what's going on in the country. And this information is updated regularly by the U.S. Embassy, the U.S. government representation abroad. And you will also learn what are some of the priorities of the U.S. government in those countries, as remember, the program, the Fulbright program, is funded by the U.S. government. The third tab is about stipends and benefits. So you will learn here, depending on the rank, how much you would be getting per month, and also if they do provide more support for dependents, if you want to bring your family members. So Fulbright is considered as a family-friendly program because they do support your spouses, your children in some cases. Not all the countries offer this, but many of them do. More information about the country can be found here. like this historic information, etc. Application deadline, like I said, September 15, what activity they're looking for, and then there is no preference whether you do research only or teaching only or combination of both teaching and research. Any project would be competitive as long as you meet the other parameters that we discussed earlier. More information here, how many people will be selected, 3. And then again, Fulbright program staff for each award. So now let's go and check this begin application process. And you will see here, you will go to a checklist of the application. Basically, we do even have like an eligibility and application checklist. We do have the application instructions, which I recommend you download. You print it or save it on your desktop, it really helps you. We do even provide project statement samples so that you can see what the successful Fulbrighters did previously. So it's a lot of information here, but I really suggest you spend some time in reading through all these resources before you start or during the application process, because they're really helpful. The other resource I wanted to show you here is the Fulbright Scholar Directory on our homepage, cis.org. You will see these four tabs. So the third one, view the Fulbright Scholar Directory. You can filter the scholars, alumni, here. You can just see, like, you can filter them by discipline, specialization, academic year, program country, etc. And then the list of alumni will come here, will appear here, and you can just see what they did in these countries, and you can even reach out to them. So these are more recent alumni within the last 10 years, and I'm sure they would be happy to help you with your application. So now I'm going to go back to my presentation, and I would like to take a few more questions. Also, keep in mind that we do have a very active social media. Make sure you also follow us on social media, as we listed here some of the most popular social media, and then you will see like what more updates about the Fulbright program, but also what alumni did in their projects. All right, now let's see more questions. For opportunities that do not require a letter of invitation, is it better to get one anyway, or does doing so then limit your possibilities for being selected? So yes, I would recommend even when the letter of invitation is not required, unless they say the letter of invitation should not be sought, then you definitely should not seek for a letter of invitation. However, if you can, please, please include it, because that's very important, so that the review panel, when they read your application, can see that this project is really feasible and makes sense in the hosting country. All right, so we are going to also archive this webinar. We're going to have the recording on our website. We will send you a follow-up message with the presentation and also with all the links to these wonderful awards. But again, I want to thank you for your attention and for your interest in the Fulbright US Scholar Program. Please feel free to reach out to us if you have any other questions. I'm happy to answer them. And I am looking forward to working with you on your Fulbright US Scholar Program application for 2021-2022. And keep in mind, the deadline is September 15 to submit your application, so you still have some time to work on your application. Use all these resources that we just talked about, and stay safe, and take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch soon for more information. I wish you a wonderful rest of the day, and I'm looking forward to working with you and getting your questions. All the best for now. Bye, everyone.